is your place. This is where you'll serve America best. Your future's in the sky. You see, the way the Air Force Reserves feel about it, they're fighting and they're flying for the safety of our people at home, our mothers and fathers and our sisters and brothers. America will have overwhelming superiority in the air.
Good morning, everyone. This is episode number three.
Tres.
In German, drei.
Any other aggressive. Do you know any other languages?
No, trois.
Okay. Trois. Is that French?
Uno, dos, tres.
Did you say that? I said tres. All right. Yeah, all right. It's the only thing I know.
This is Colonel Gormley. And to my left, I have
Chief Mass Sergeant Darren Wiseman.
So New Year's. That's what I'm thinking about right now. It's my New Year's resolutions.
Yeah.
I don't know about the rest of you. And I always have grand resolutions. And normally I whisper these to my wife and I'll tell my kids because inevitably they don't come true. But what I'm going to try and do this year, I'm going to give it my best okey try. I'm going to try and score a 100 on the 55.
On the PT test? Well, you're probably at that age bracket now.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, thanks. You're welcome.
Well, I'm 48. It's still challenging. Okay. It's still challenging. It's that run. It's always the run. And I think if I can get about 2 minutes on it, which I can do, I think I can do it.
So I don't have a New Year's resolution because every time I make one, I inevitably fail at it. So maybe this year I'll go opposite. I'll just eat a ton of bad food for me.
And then next year, your resolution this year is to get unhealthy for next year.
right, where you'll get back to where you are now
and it'll be a success.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I got to clear the air here. Here on the podcast, I just need to address it. You and I have coffee drinking issues. Yes?
I don't have an issue.
No.
I don't know. So when I took this position, my wife, I said, I need a nice little Keurig coffee maker. So she brought in a Keurig coffee maker. Or she got me one for Christmas last year. I brought it in. And I like to have my coffee a little, let's say fruity. It's not fruity.
I'm going to say you like coffee with your sugar.
No. Coffee doesn't have sugar in it. Coffee doesn't have sugar in it. It has a nice aroma to it. Mm-hmm. It might be cinnamon. Mm-hmm. It might be caramel.
Right.
It might be vanilla.
It might be M&M.
Right.
It might be Ben and Jerry flavor.
Maybe. Yes. But it's not sugar. Mm. I think you've gone down the wrong road there. It's not sugar. Well, it's an aroma.
Well, will you walk us down the process of you frothing milk here in your office?
I didn't know we were going to talk about this. I thought we were just talking about the coffee.
I'm going all the way.
I do have a frother. I don't use it very often. I don't even like that word, frothing. It's not a fun word to say.
That's the term, though, right?
Let's back off the froth and get back to the...
Back off the froth.
Let's go. Let's go back
so
to
So we
the
have
coffee.
Flavored coffee with flavored froth.
Right. So you have a coffee maker right next door. And instead of using my coffee maker that happens to smell like this pod, might smell like cinnamon.
Right.
You go down the hallway and make your own black coffee.
Stronger the better.
I just think
no flavoring, no sugar, no cream.
I just think that's kind of yuppie.
Well,
to not come and use a coffee maker, very nice coffee maker right next to.
Well, there's something to be said about a person who drinks just straight dark coffee.
So I just got it. I'm going to go ahead and introduce our guest today.
They're sitting here listening to our debate.
Right. So coffee. Chief Robinson, Lieutenant Colonel Miller are both sitting at the table. Thank you guys for coming. Chief, can you go ahead and introduce yourself and then Colonel Miller?
Yeah, Steve Robinson, boom operator, 465th ARS.
All right, Lieutenant Colonel Damian Miller. I'm the Inspector General of Inspections Director of the 507th Air Refueling Wing.
Cool. And Chief, around us, there's only four of us around the table, and you just look a little older than the rest of us. How long you been in?
Going on 37.
Oh,
wow.
And you've been a chief for how long of that?
Since 2002.
I knew the answer.
Yeah.
I just wanted to ask. That is crazy.
Just for context,
crazy.
I came in the Air Force in 2000.
So I came in 99, so you've been a chief as long, basically, as my career. That is crazy, Chief. The reason I introduced you so fast, normally we keep going, is I got a little side eye from Chief when I said, what did I say? What was the word I used?
Was it frothing? Was it sugar? I'm not sure that's the point that he side-eyed you.
What problems did you have with my comments, Chief?
Well, I wasn't sure if this was a podcast or some kind of like a weird relationship counseling session going on here. But yeah.
I guess it's kind of both.
Yeah.
You work out our problems.
Black coffee's kind of poochy.
Is that your thing?
Yeah.
You too?
See?
Yeah, just normal black coffee.
I wish I could be what you are over there.
So right now we have two individuals, straight black, dark.
You too? You drink coffee?
Colonel Miller, what about you?
Colonel Miller? You don't drink coffee?
I don't do coffee.
You don't do coffee at all? All right, just for the record.
You're a water drinker.
All right.
Yeah, I drink a lot of water.
I just want to make this for the record. We have two officers, two chiefs. The two chiefs are drinking dark, straight black coffee. And then we have one officer, no coffee, and another one who froths. I'm just trying to paint the picture here. Chief Robinson, you got any comments?
I'm just trying to think in my 30 years why they didn't have a frothing machine at any of the dining halls. They must have a DO club.
We don't share that with you guys.
I think that's right.
There's only one per base, and we keep it over our side.
I'm also wondering in the airplane, there's probably a reason why people didn't like seeing him show up on the airplane because he's got, you know, we got coffee and he's got jugs of creamer and sugar.
The availability on the KC-135, actually, the coffee, it's just
hot pot, hot water.
Hot pot, hot
instant
water.
And coffee.
But I'm sure I could find, because we have the European plugs in the galley, you know, I'm sure I can find a frother with a European plug on it, Chief. Yeah. On it. New Year's resolution.
Oh, my
European
God.
Frother.
Did the autopilot kick off?
Oh, my gosh. Did I tell you the story about my coffee cup the other day?
No.
So our customer support section here does a wonderful job at helping us, you know, in our busy schedules. And I leave my coffee cup, which, by the way, has about 2 years worth of caked coffee inside of it. I left it in the conference table. She was so kind. She grabbed it for me and then she washed it.
Oh, you're about to say it's a big no-no?
Yes.
Well,
is that what you're about to say?
Kind of a thing you just don't do. So she puts it on my desk. And I was very thankful that someone had grabbed it and didn't steal it, of course. I look at it and it's spotless. And I wasn't really sure what else to do with my life. So I walk up to the front. I said, hey, who washed my coffee cup? And I just felt really bad because I think I made her feel bad. But that's something, you know, now it's taking me time. I'm about 6-7 months in now. I think I've got a good flavoring on the inside.
I can tell you, every time I use the frother, I clean it. All right.
Oh,
you'll
I know.
Never catch me leaving my frother out without being clean. So, right.
I think we need to get into our content because we could all probably spend 25 minutes talking about coffee.
Well, this is mission related. So, this is the first podcast that we are having that is specifically geared toward what the Oak Kids are about to accomplish or accomplishing, of which we're going to talk today about Nexus Forge. I mean, all this is in preparation for our 2025 deployment as a wing. We are in the bucket to deploy. And this is our chance to knock the rust off or what? Get right prepared for the deployment.
Yeah, it's a good pre-deployment event for a lot of the deployers and some of them who have never been in this kind of environment.
And there's a lot. There's a lot. I went to Security Forces yesterday just to say hello, asked how many people are deploying. Three-fourths of the folks in the room raised their hand. Mm-hmm. And I would say half of those folks were airmen. So there are a lot of new faces, but I told them the more I complained during an event, when I look back, the more I loved it. I know that sounds weird, but each deployment I had about 13 under my belt, each time I was there complaining. But when I got home, I reflected back and those were the best times. Those were absolutely the best times in the tents, you know, just you're with your buddies and everyone's working hard to accomplish the mission. Now, Nexus Forge. This will also, the tents are involved. This is a deployment of sorts. Can you kind of walk us through from start and then where we are now?
So as we, as Nexus Forge was, you know, sponsored by, initially by the NAF, by 4th Air Force, and this has grown into an effort, an AFRC MATCHCOM effort.
Yeah.
Where 22nd and 10th are also heavily involved. And so you're looking at twofold. You have an Indo-PACOM scenario, and then you have a certification event for the 9/11th. So what we're doing is you have a couple of wings that are going for Cree credit to exercise
Cree
that muscle.
Again, real quick.
That's going to be the contingency readiness exercise.
Okay.
It used to be right. readiness exercise.
Gotcha.
And then, of course, the certification event for the 9/11th. It's a complex scenario because on one hand, the ASTAF, they're actually going to be going to CENTCOM, but then the Indo-PACOM scenario, because we're going to be, this is taking place in PACAV in Hawaii.
Right.
That, you know, it adds some complexities to the scenario. And then we have weapon systems from the three NAFs.
Yeah. Which, so it's all three NAFs are involved. They're all bringing something to the fight.
Right.
Chief, you mentioned, as we talked about the exercise prior to the turning this microphone on this morning, the A-staff. Can you kind of talk us through? You made some comments about that. You got to talk me through.
It's kind of going back old school where a wing will do a flyaway. And when you do a flyaway, you incorporate an individual from each agency, but you have one boss.
Right.
What it does is it makes chiefs chiefs. It makes captains and majors an opportunity to be commanders. And it lets the troops interact with the right person at the right time. Not the bureaucracy of I've got five group commanders, I've got a wing commander, I've got, you know, a third meeting I've got to go to. So it puts the action items on point. Like you can just execute and go do the mission. I think for a lot of the younger troops, O's and E's in that kind of concept, the ability to get a real time answer and then a real time direction, that guidance makes embracing the suck enjoyable.
Yeah.
Right. You know, you're not leaving every event so frustrated because no one told you why you're doing this. You're doing it to complete an actual tasking.
So for the listeners out there, the Air Force, we're all about the why. So we're going to find out why is it you train so hard? Why is it that you raise your right hand to defend your country? You're going to come to your conclusions based on what we're going to do here in Nexus Force and to reiterate the why.
I know you guys have gone through how many planning conferences that we had?
Three.
Three? Yes, sir. Okay. And I've said this, I've come into your offices and we've talked, but I've heard directly from not just yourselves, but others that were at those planning conferences. And I know when we first talked about this, the first reaction, adding this to an already busy COPE North schedule, I remember that conversation. And it was tough. It was tough. And General Durham was just getting this out. And this was just an idea he wanted to implement, but we weren't quite sure how it was going to execute. What you two have been able to provide, and I'm going to speak for the NAF because I've heard about those planning sessions, the conferences, has been just outstanding. I've had folks call me. Our wing and having you as the IG is just, the effort that you and your team and the fact that you can bring some other units to come over and help and you know who to go to, who has that experience is a big, big, big deal. And then Chief, at those planning conferences, the leadership you have provided has been unlike any other.
Thank you, sir. And thank you, Chief, for involving, including us. And I think the best decision that we made from the leadership side of the house was involving Chief Robinson into this equation.
Amen.
He's made things happen.
It's true.
Behind the scenes.
And Chief Robinson is a man of few words. I know that. So thanks. All right. Truly. And I know it's been a tough go because you're representing not just the 507th and the air crew, but you're also at the planning conference trying to help out the totality of the three NAFs. I get that. And so just from Chief and I, thank you both for being a part of this. It is going to be that much better having the 507th involved, but with your leadership there, it'll take it over the top and we'll be better for next year. And I don't think anyone believes this is going to be a perfectly executed event. It will not be. It will not be. Yeah. But safety is paramount and learning for next year. And I've heard each time you come back, I hear about failing forward. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
Well, when you certify, you have to have trigger points. You have to have events that causes leadership to make a decision, to provide a corrective action. And even if it's not a good one,
right.
Then it's the witch job to come back and the white cell to go, hey, this is how we can improve. But I like the effort. I like the mindset. Let's tailor it this way. And if you don't have those points, how are you going to be able to make a decision when you're actually in the fight, in the threat? And we don't do a good job of that when we do kind of home stations, because everybody's so comfortable. But the exciting part about the NAF doing this as a flyaway, you don't have all those crutches. You can't turn to your longtime chief and your longtime senior all the way down to the staff that's always been the guy that makes things happen. You've got to react and adjust on the fly, and you're doing it in a graded environment, and they're going to do it in a graded contested environment with ATSO, with base attacks, with medical, with flyaways. We've got a very aggressive ATO. So you're talking an 18-hour war continuous.
You know, I've been in the Air Force 24 plus years. And early on, there was a phraseology out there that talked about a one mistake Air Force, you know. And so we kind of grew up somewhat in some subcultures of, well, I don't want to make any mistakes. I don't want to screw up because I'm going to get in trouble or whatever that is. And we've been kind of moving away from that, I think, you know, through this our great power competition and into AFORGEN and now with Nexus Forge of saying, hey, we're asking you to take risk. You're going to make some mistakes while you're out there. You're going to have to make decisions as a staff sergeant or a mass sergeant or a captain or a lieutenant. And you're not going to be able to go and call an 06 to cover you, if you will. You're going to have to kind of make those assessments quickly And John Boyd, a former Air Force officer, wrote a book, and he used the phraseology of the OODA loop, or orient, observe, decide, and act. And we're going to ask our airmen in this exercise to perform OODA loops at a rapid pace. So I like where this exercise is going. How do you think, specifically here with the 507th and maybe some other reserve members that may be listening, how do you think this will prepare airmen to be ready? And for context, ready now is a number one priority for General Healy. We've mentioned it on our podcast previously. So that's really what we're trying to drive to, is to be ready now. So what are you guys' thoughts on that? Colonel Miller?
Sure. To begin with, Chief, it's going to give them a little taste of being ready from home station. So it starts with your IMR, right, your fitness, getting your gear, and obviously making sure that you know your job at your AFSC at your respective skill level, because then you're going to take that skill set and then you're going to go ahead and plug it into a contingency environment, a degraded environment.
Right.
You're also going to get a chance to get on a military aircraft, which some of them have never done, and actually go through that process, go through the PDF, the CDF will be stood up. All the deployment machine is going to be in full swing, and then they're going to arrive in a location where it's a INDOPACOM scenario like we talked about. So this started with commander's intent, and then you build your scope and scale, and then boom, you're in a contested degraded environment, and you're expected to perform under pressure. And like you alluded to, Chief, about being the distractions being minimal, mm-hmm. because you're not going home that night. You're going to stay with your wingman. So that's one of the benefits of doing it this way. And Nexus Forge will turn into eventually an exercise where it's going to be MANCHCOM. This is only going to expand from here in what we're seeing.
And I'd like to add, I think we've overplayed the term wingman. These events create battle buddies. Mm-hmm. Battle buddies are someone that understands what you went through, why you went through it, and we did it together, and now we've got that common thing. Being able to do exercises that simulate that is going to help with the apprehension of just, hey, you're called, recall, let's deploy. You go out on the airplane, everybody's just kind of following the herd mentality. I like the battle buddy where, they can talk about, hey, I did this. We're going to get into C-17. This is going to happen. And and just kind of tamp that down, that apprehension.
Yeah, for me, when I used to experience different levels of exercises through convoys or different other things like that, or flyaways, which you talked about, Chief Robinson, is be comfortable with the uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of it's a mindset. We start to kind of push back on certain elements during an exercise or prior to because we're nervous. It's just human nature. We're kind of in an unknown area. We're not sure how many flights we're going to have. We're not sure exactly the tent setup. A lot of stuff creates anxiety. And I think that sets and reps reduces that anxiety level down. Absolutely. And I would rather, we go back to fail forward, I'd rather fail forward in an exercise, because you only get one shot in the real world, right? When this actually happens. And we need airmen to make risk decisions at the lowest level possible. And Nexus Forge is going to give us that opportunity.
Deploying for the first time for so many of our members, this gives them the opportunity, to your point, to experience prior to going downrange for real. No kidding. You're being called. And it could be you're not in a bucket necessarily. I don't know how many times I've been called outside that bucket. Mm-hmm. They need you downrange now, and you're ready. You're ready to go. One of the things I wanted to ask you about, Chief, can you kind of talk through how the NAFs are working together in terms of aircraft? 17s, 130s, the fighters, the tankers.
So to be an effective exercise like Nexus Forge, you've got to bring dissimilar aircraft, and you got to bring those experts in. But when you take 900 people, nobody understands that you're not just going to do commercial air. So 22nd has to reach out to the C-130s. 10th Air Force has their C-130s. Uh-huh. You've got the C-17s. You've got C-5s. You've got to reach back to AETC, which are reserve associates, and go, hey, we want them to play. So you've got aggregate bases, whether it's get them to Pittsburgh, get them to California, and then get more airplanes to get them over to Barbers Point. Then at Barbers Point, you're looking at anywhere from 17 to 22 aircraft on a small airfield, turning and burning to download, get ready for the next one. And then we're going to be Wheeler Army Airfield. We're going to have aircraft all throughout the island, all supporting this, along with Cope North, along with Bamboo Eagle.
Just about to ask
along
about
with Ace Exercise. The mobilization of this much air power in a small amount of time, it's overwhelming to see how everybody's interacting. And I think that's what the NAF wanted to see. They wanted to see, is Forth working with, the active duty exercise at Bamboo Eagle? Are we deconflicting with PACOM in Cope North, right, because we've got a lot of assets there and a lot of reserves.
Like the 507th is playing in that. Two aircraft, yes, are involved in Cope North. And that was an ask. We've had these conversations, Chief, you and I, and mm-hmm. Cope North was on the calendar. And now Nexus Forge got put on a little later. But 507 stepped up, and it really is. I know I'm going off on a separate subject, but it's your leadership that made this happen. And I know this isn't easy. I know there's a lot to ask here. Sure. And there's two very significant exercises happening at the same time. Yeah. But you're bringing up another point I wanted to ask you about, and that is, so Bamboo Eagle, Cope North, and Nexus Forge are deconflicting, but are they actually playing together? How is that? I don't know the ins and outs of...
Well, it's a twofold attack. I mean, the first thing is you've got to get the 9/11th wing there to set up the A staff. You've got to build up a base, but then you've got to have something to do while you're in the base, right? So you got all the assets, you got the crews, you got the iron. What does a tanker need? A tanker needs somebody to refuel. You've got to have a mission set. Yep. So you've got to add a kind of a tactical scenario-based war to that. So you're pulling assets from the West Coast, which is where all the fighters are flying Bamboo Eagle. So we've got to figure out, can we get KC-46s, 135s to the West Coast and back, along with doing actual AE mission, real world medical, getting everybody a touch. Because if you're not doing your job on one of these events, you just feel like I wasted another week.
What's the point? You bet.
Between the three NAFs, I think they've done a yeoman's job of making sure everybody's got a touch. And that touch is actual, like, practical application, just not spinning their wheels. We're going to do low level C-17 AR. We're going to do heavyweight AR. We're going to take assets to Guam that are going to go follow on to Tinian, you know, just to we can fix a runway.
You bet.
And validate, you know, what we're supposed to be doing under the GPC. We're taking security forces with their dogs. We're taking bomb stuff. We're taking a C-17 loaded with combat comm.
You bet.
You bet. Our own active duty 35th combat comm.
Here on Tinker.
Supporting that. And they have a huge task of not only setting up an A staff, but setting up some forward deployed locations.
And I'll tell you, and you mentioned it as a small aside, but AETC is Air Education Training Command. Air Force Reserve Command is a major command within the Air Force. Air Education Training Command is another, and we have members down at Altus Air Force Base that actually are operating within the AETC construct, but they belong to the Reserve MAGCOM. So it can be complicated, but I'll tell you, this is where it all comes to fruition with Nexus Forge, when they're helping us out as Reserve members, but as an AETC jet aircraft that's coming up. Our reservists are flying C-17 up here to come pick up folks and take them downrange. That to me is, it just shows everyone wants to be involved, and there's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah, I would suggest we're actually in the exercise right now. I know that the exercise hasn't officially kicked off, but I just want to give it some context here. The speed of war, if things ever happen in our world, this deconfliction, the frustrating of the planning, how do we coordinate with one different NAF commander, you know what I mean, as an example for assets to get airmen flowing, you know, from one side of the United States out to the Pacific or another direction if we need to. I like the grind. I like the sets and reps here that we're trying to really push through of, you know, we want to take care of airmen. Right. We want to make sure that they're as comfortable as possible. You know what I mean? In a deployed location, that they're fed well, that all these types of elements are happening. Right. But again, going back to, we need to be comfortable with the uncomfortable, because we're pushing forward, because the speed of war isn't going to allow us to sit back and wait another year to plan or whatever that is. So I hearing stories from you guys, you know, about some of the grind a little bit behind closed doors. I love that, because that's how this works. You know, you have to grind it out to be able to get the best process.
Well, and to that point, I can't tell you how many times airmen come up to me after, whether it's after a commander's call or just here in the hallway, and say, we just want to do the job, the J-O-B. We want to go out and do our jobs. That's what this is. But you got to do it safely. And to your point, that deconfliction, that's the safety portion of this that has to be done right.
Right.
And we do learn during these kind of events when a knock it off is appropriate, because there's a lot of things happening. However, doing the job, that's what it's all about. And there's a lot going on. And we had a commander's call, and all the Christmas parties that I went to, one of the things that I typically said was, we're asking a lot of you.
Right.
But this is why you're here. This is why we come for those 16 hours, that 8 and 8 on a Saturday and Sunday, to prepare for things like this. Your deployment is a massive undertaking for our NAF, for our wing. There's a lot of resources going into getting you downrange, and this Nexus Forge is preparing you for it. And from an IG perspective, one thing we haven't hit today, talk to us about being the IG, the 507th IG, and some of the intricacies of this exercise with all the players. Walk me through what's going on right now.
Yes, sir. So you have three levels of the actual exercise. So you have the generation portion, and then you have the employee and sustain. So the generation portion is going to take place at the wings. That's when you're generating your forces. You're getting them out of town on the C-17s and 135 and so on and so forth to go to the fight. But there's a lot that goes into that. So that goes back to the airmen being ready now, you know, getting, making sure that they're vetted properly, medical, finances, getting their upgrade training, all those things taken care of, their GTCs, just the little things. And then the generation portion, standing up that PDF line, passenger deployment facility, and the cargo deployment facility, because we're taking cargo, getting everybody ready. So you have that ITV, so everybody knows, you know, where the assets are at all times, and then when they go forward. And then you have the employee sustain portion, which is complex in this because the wings aren't the ones that are planning that part. The NAF is, but we are helping. We are assisting.
Gotcha.
So there's a lot of there's a lot of liaison that goes on and a lot of working together to get those specific injects in, because each of the wings are, they're going to have their METs that they want to go ahead and exercise and evaluate per the request of the commanders. So putting all that in, it's like you have all the ingredients and you put it all in and then they make the meal. And natural stress inoculation, just from going the airmen going through this process.
There's
natural stress inoculation, but the IG are going to throw that contested degraded environment once they're downrange. And actually, during the generation portion, they're going to be throwing some additional stresses in there to see how they react, that fail forward that we're talking about. Make those mistakes now, because in combat, you get one shot.
Yeah, and with the IG's involvement, at the end of this, we'll have, for some wings, there'll be a graded situation, some things that we can take back and deficiencies that are more formal in a report, so we can apply a little bit more training and or resource towards that, correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. And the wings are going to have to, the ones that especially that are going through the CRE, they're going to have their report. So they're going to be able to provide that to you, sir.
Right.
So here are the areas that we have those deficiencies. And of course, the commanders will have an opportunity to go ahead and challenge those or at least work through those deficiencies. Mm-hmm. And then once they're in the report, they go through the corrective action plan so that we minimize that undetected noncompliance that we always preach.
And we get better
for the next go around. So this is experience that they're going to gain that they couldn't gain anywhere else. Mm-hmm. That's why Nexus 40 is so important.
Yeah, I want to pull on a thread here real quick, and it's a term. It's not a new term in the Air Force, but it's a term that's been kind of coming up to the top here called mission over function. And so, in the context of with the Air Force, mission over function, it emphasizes prioritizing mission success over organizational silos, right? Because we've in the Air Force, we kind of stay in our lane. Right. Hey, you're a boom, you stay in the boom, right? You're a cop, you stay as a cop. Right. So. With in context to Nexus Forge and the planning discussions that you guys are having, I'll go to Chief Robinson here. Flesh that out for me. Like, how do we see mission over function really playing a role here in Nexus Forge?
Well, that's the definition of what an A-staff is. Mm-hmm. Our wing is actually providing a big leadership portion to the A-staff. And you're going to have people representing maybe a skill set that's not what they were trained in, but they're still still senior NCO. They're still an officer. And they've got to you know, pull those assets to make that decision. Multi-capable airmen is a big thing that has been an AMC focus down to the NAFs, and we haven't really had a lot of the training dollars or time to work that.
Right.
So here's an exercise that the NAF has went all in. General Berman said that he doesn't care if he spends every last penny; he's all in on this. You know, and we're going to utilize MCA. We're going to utilize. I'm not comfortable helping a cop, but if I need to put on battle rattle and go stand a post because there's no airplanes to fly, guess what you're going to do.
And I wanted listeners, especially if those are going to be participating in Nexus Forge, whether you're from this wing or other wings, to know that get excited, because we may ask you to get in a forklift if you get the trained, obviously, prior to, or we may ask you to go pull patrol with cops around a perimeter. Work the dining facility or hand out MREs or whatever that may be. I think this is really exciting for airmen to kind of maybe test their limits a little bit. So just wanted to kind of bring that into focus.
Prepare to be challenged.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I do have a quick question. What kind of coffee is going to be at Nexus Forge?
Plain black. 10-gallon jug.
I'm going to change that. We're frothers for everybody. There's going to be every airman's going to receive a frother. Not confirmed. Battery. So when you're out in the tents, you're all going to have your frother.
Yeah.
Just don't wake each other up. They're loud.
You know, so they're going to hold you to that. You're going to get emails now from probably hundreds of airmen. Hey, when do I expect my frother? And is the C-17 going to deliver that?
Oh, this is so Air Force. Yeah.
Along the lines of reporting instructions, work with your UDMs because your UDMs are going to be very familiar with those reporting instructions. So
I love how we try and take it off track. Colonel Miller, and you bring it right back to, all right, anyway, thanks Colonel Gorley, but UDMs, now, we, as much as I try and get this train off the rails, you bring it back. Thank you. You know what, to that point, there are reporting instructions for Nexus Forge. We want to throw out that for all the new airmen listening, there are reporting instructions and they always come out and they basically give you some very important information on how to execute your deployment, what you need to do, how you need to do it, the dates, the times involved. But as always, talk to your supervisors. They can help you decipher those reporting instructions. But to the airmen, it's such a great point. Thank you for being a part of this. I know this isn't easy. We're getting over the holiday hump, and a lot of people are coming back in January, and all of a sudden we're going to Nexus Forge, and it's coming quickly. So thank you to all the 507th members, to our Altus brothers and sisters down the 730. Thanks for stepping up with the C-17. This is a team effort.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Thank you both for taking the time to come on this podcast. And hopefully I just want to say thank you to the airmen who are listening and the families that are listening to this podcast to just get a little bit more insight into what's kind of operationally going on within our wing, within the Air Force Reserve Command. I'm excited that we've actually completed 3 episodes.
Yeah, big deal.
Refuel Radio. So we're a new podcast, and I assume folks are going to want to tell their friend where to find this podcast. Mm-hmm. So tell me, if I was someone new and I'm trying to look for Refuel Radio, where would I go find it?
Well, it's like a new person asking a new person where to go find it. But from what I understand, there's a few places you can find us. So we got Spotify,
okay,
Apple Podcast, Pandora, YouTube Music, just to name a few.
Right.
So, or wherever you find, your regular podcast. So 507th Air Refueling Wing on Facebook, we have all this listed.
Right.
So I think that's probably the best place to go. Go find 507th Air Refueling Wing on Facebook, and you can find all the different locations. I don't know what you do on podcasts. Like, you're on Facebook, you go like. What do you do for us? What do you push? What's the little button you push?
I don't think people get to push buttons or comment.
There's no button to push?
I think it's just a listenership. Yeah.
Off.
Yeah. well, on that note, to conclude, I'm going to go make a cup of coffee.
All right. And I'll froth. All right. That's it. We will see you on the flip side, Chief.
We out.
And this war we're fighting today and tomorrow and the next day until we win is a war of the air.